Father, we thank Thee for Your gift of our beloved Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for everything You gave us in His name, for Your precious promise of high calling, and for all Your precious promises. Help us, dear Father, to understand Your will, and we pray for special blessing for Brother Walter for this time, and we pray for all these who call for Your holy name. Bless us all, dear Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we'll be blessed with the words that He has to give us. Brother Walter.
Privilege to be with you. We're very happy. Sister and I are enjoying our stay here at the convention. We feel at home, and this is good. We thought for this afternoon we'd like to take some lessons, brethren, some practical lessons in life. You know, a theory is good, but there are practical things that we have to look into also. We have to get up in the morning. We have to manage our affairs. There's a lot of things that go on. And sometimes, brethren, as the Lord's people, we maybe are not conducting ourselves maybe in the best way, and maybe wasting a lot of time. And the Lord doesn't want that. He wants us to be very efficient in His service. So we thought for this afternoon we would take the topic of stewardship. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:2 tells us that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, you know, the Apostle James tells us that faith without works is dead. There has to be works. Our faith has to be strong. It's a fruit of the Spirit, even faith. It has to be cultivated. It has to grow. So we want to consider thoughts on stewardship. There's the young brethren here, there's the older brethren here, there's the middle-aged brethren, and we all need admonition. In the younger days, there's other things you have to look after. Growing family, or maybe buying a home, or a lot of things that go on. And sometimes brethren get into a lot of trouble. They don't know how to conduct their lives. And we see a lot, even in the United States and Canada, where there's businesses going bankrupt and farmers are going bankrupt, and we have a lot of problems. And the Bible gives us the wisdom which cometh from above, some guidelines, brethren, as to how we are to conduct our daily lives, which is a help. The Lord, all He does is helps us. And who wouldn't want help? So we, in the school of Christ, we just don't come to a meeting and we read a few chapters and go home. We don't do that. We have to have some order in our life, brethren. Something that we can look forward to the next day and organize, that we know, as the saying goes, where we're going. So the definition of the word steward, according to Webster, it could be a steward of time or of talent, or one called to exercise responsible care over the possessions entrusted to him, or he could be a manager. Steward is a manager. And everyone here, brethren, whether you're young or old, you're all managers. You're all stewards. The young ones, maybe they have to make their beds, or maybe they have to put their bicycles away, and the ones that are growing up, they have certain responsibilities. The middle age, the family comes along, and then old age, another problem. So we have to learn to conduct ourselves in all these circumstances. In a certain sense of the word and in a certain respects, brethren, every child of God is a steward, especially if they're consecrated. And I like the term, brethren, that we encourage all, our younger brethren, our older brethren, to call them to the meeting, encourage them, and to consecrate. A consecration is always in order. Don't worry so much about the reward, but about serving God. And it's a blessing that we know how to live. People don't know how to live. All the divorces. I don't know how it is in the United States, but in Canada, once you get married, it doesn't last a long time. In the olden days, you never thought of a divorce, and the Bible does not support divorces. So there may be some lessons we have to learn, brethren. Every child of God is a steward. We're all managers. This includes everybody, not just the speakers, brethren. Speakers have to learn also. They learn a lot. But the class selects somebody who... There has to be some order in the church, in God's arrangement. So they select who they think are capable to manage, feed the flock, as the Lord told Peter. Somebody, an overseer. They have to look after things for the benefit, for the blessings of the congregation, for the ecclesia, and so on and so forth. So we're stewards. We're stewards of what we possess, of our talents, of our opportunities, of our privileges, of our abilities in the Lord's service. Our Master gives us all these talents, or even some of these talents. Some have more and some have less. But whatever you have, brethren, you know what is shown. The Lord says one had only one talent and he buried it. And he got criticized for it. Why did you bury that one talent? Maybe just to visit somebody is a good talent. To use it. So the Lord will require from us an account. And he also wants an increase. You know how it is in life. We always seem to want an increase. We put $100 in the bank and then we think, well, maybe we should save a little more. Put another $100 in. We look at the bank book, there's $200. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to make progress in the truth. He doesn't want us to be in grade one all the time. He wants us to graduate, to be kings and priests with the Lord, to learn something, brethren. And not only when things are going good for us, but even when things are going bad. We have a responsibility of dispensing spiritual food for the household of faith. And we read this, I won't read the text, brethren, in Matthew 24, 44, 45 to 51. We are fellow servants. We're all servants, stewards, whose duty and privilege it will be to cooperate with the steward, or stewards, in the dispensing of the food. And we have good food, brethren. The sisters prepared, in this place we had good food, but the Lord has something better for us. So harmonious. We see chronology, we see the pyramid, we see the tabernacle. It's all harmonious, nothing out of place. Yeah, but some say some of those dates are a little wrong. No. Bible tells us we should wait. Nothing wrong, brethren. Just have to wait, be patient. We don't have to rush the Lord. So, in this connection, brethren, we are to remember that every stewardship, every privilege that we have brings it with it weighty responsibilities which are not to be avoided, neither to be taken lightly by those who become servants and stewards. We have an obligation. Once you have given your life to the Lord, you do what you can. If you can't do too much, do a little, but do it. Do something. Every servant is to remember that unfaithfulness would surely lead to his or her removal. And that is why the admonition in the scripture is to be faithful in a little will mean that you can be faithful in much. But if you're not faithful in little things, so this is important, brethren, little opportunities, little things that we have to do in our consecration, brethren, we don't let the opportunity slip by. With humble faithfulness on his part will draw him closer to the Master. And to every faithful member of the household will imply his continuance in the service until the Master shall say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." And many of us have many years ahead of us, a lot of work to do, brethren, but it's a joy. It's a joy to serve the Lord, brethren, because he will help us. He will give us an increase. He'll help us to make some money, help us to come to a convention. He'll arrange our home life and so on and so forth. After we have consecrated, or those who are thinking to consecrate, or those who are not consecrated and have lessons from those who are consecrated, is a blessing. So having those that are consecrated, having presented their all to the Lord, they are now stewards of what they control, principle and increase. They are given a free hand to do with it whatever, as they choose. The Lord watches, He gives it to us, and then He gives it back to us. Here, you operate this. What if you got a car, you got a home, you got $1,000 in the bank, you got, what else do we have? Whatever. And then we have to do the Father's business. We have to think spiritually. And that means, brethren, that we don't waste our time on other things. The Lord will watch over us, and He will give us not necessarily temporal things, but He may also give us temporal bounties, because you need money in this world of ours. But most of all, brethren, He'll give us spiritual bounties and fatness as in proportion as we are faithful in presenting our bodies living sacrifices, as the Apostle tells us in Romans 12:1. We have seen some stumble and fall from the truth after they have been enlightened. We see some delicate and feeble in spiritual health and ready to be stumbled by the adversary. Oh, the adversary is very strong, brethren. Sometime, we have different situations where He presents light for darkness and darkness for light. Something looks so nice, and after we find out it's not so nice. So we are not ignorant of His devices. And the best course to take, brethren, I find, is to square everything with this. Everything. With the plan of God. We see some who have been unfaithful in rendering unto the Lord their God what they have covenanted. Or if they seem to be energetic in His service, yet they are stumbling. So that means, brethren, we have to do something about it. We have to shape up our condition. But yet we may rest assured that it is because their energies and efforts were to be seen maybe of men and were not pure devotion to the Lord. The whole family are servants. One is a jeweler, another one produces woolen goods, another one a grocer, a tailor, a physician, a farmer, a fisherman, and so on. We're all bound together. We are our brother's keeper, in a sense. Service is a delight to the Christian. It reminds me of the story of a man who stole some chickens, and he got sentenced to jail. And he says to the judge, he says, whatever you do, don't give me any work in jail. He says, just give me a chair to sit, because I've worked so hard on the farm, I'm tired, I want to just sit. The judge says, okay, just sit. He had to sit for 7 days. And you know what it is, if you were active and you're not active, and they give him a little room, he couldn't move around, he just gave him a chair and to sit. And we found out that he said, I'll never want to sit again, he says, I want to move around. Because it's not the best thing. Sometimes we think that just being lazy is the best thing. It's not, brethren. So the Lord wants somebody that's active. We are to do good to all as we have opportunity, especially to our brethren. We are to use moderation. Our family is to be our first responsibility. He who neglects his own is worse than an unbeliever. Laziness is not to be encouraged. Lazy people are... No, the Lord doesn't want any lazy ones. Money is a talent to be used for doing good. The happiest people are those who are employed or doing something for others. The most unhappy are those who are unemployed and those who have no ambition. And we are to guide our lives with economy, brethren. So, ambition is very good. Oh, yes, ambition is strongly recommended for the Lord's people, but it's ambition guided by the Spirit of the Lord, ready to do whatever we can. All that we possess belongs to the Lord. It's all His, our homes, our cars, our whatever. And by God's grace, we are to be ambassadors, or we are to be stewards, we are to be managers for the Lord. And we are to preach the truth on every occasion, and I think the brethren are doing that. But we have to be reminded, brethren. The Apostle Peter tells us that he is just reminding us. We know a lot of these things. Brethren come up to the platform and give us a discourse, and a lot of things we know, but a lot of things we forget. We read the manna year after year, brethren, and sometimes we read the manna and we think we've never read it. So we need refresher courses. A steward in olden times had the liberty to do whatever he pleased with the master's goods. He could make presents or cancel debts or use them in any manner he chose with the goods. He could not be held guilty before the law as he represented his employer. The employer could discharge him from stewardship as a penalty of unfaithfulness. This would be his only punishment, something similar to our bankruptcy laws. We who have the truth, we are responsible for it, brethren. We have knowledge. We should have knowledge. Mind you, there are a lot of problems with knowledge among the brethren. We have it in Canada, too. Is he reigning? Is he not reigning? Different questions. Is Satan bound? Is he not bound? 1,000 years. But we need knowledge, brethren. We have to come to some understanding, some conclusion. Each ecclesia, and we should try to do this by understanding the truth as we know it, brethren, the present truth, what we call it. And there are certain doctrines that we think are very important, and we have to adhere to them because this is the time that we are living in. We have become stewards of the mysteries of God, 1 Corinthians 4:1. We have been enlightened with the knowledge of God's great plan of the ages. We have great knowledge, and many of us are long in the way, but there's so much that we don't know. We're studying Zechariah, and there's a lot we don't know. And so there's a lot of room, brethren, for improvement. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads, in their intellects. And they sang, as it were, a new song, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wherever, whithersoever he goeth. These are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Revelations 14:1-4. So we see, brethren, that some people don't understand everything. But we believe that those who are fully consecrated and those who are serving the Lord as closely as they can, they will have more enlightenment through the Spirit of the Lord, that they can understand the plan of God and its harmony. I believe that. And there will be very little stumbling on their part, if any, that they will see all the facets, all the harmony of God's plan, brethren, that they will be able to see it daily. We look at television, we see what's going on, they'll know what it relates to. And also in regards to our being built up in the most holy faith and all the spiritual lessons that we get from our studies. The Lord is not looking at how much we can do, but what we do with what we have. May it be said of us, brethren, as oft of that faithful woman, she had done what she could. Mark 14:8. She didn't have much. But why did the Lord include that in the Scripture? Because we would think, well, somebody gave $1,000 for the Lord's work, this might be the greatest. Not necessarily so. Maybe this woman, as we read, and this is the words of our Lord, were very sacred, that she had did what she could. She probably served the Lord daily and in whatever capacity she could. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and there came a poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, small amount. And he said unto them, for all they did cast in their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Mark 12:41-44. 2 days before the Passover, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, perfume, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on Jesus, on his head. And this is what he said about the woman, our Lord. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial, or in memory of her. Mark 14:1-9. What does that mean, brethren? How many brethren have we helped? How many brethren have we visited? How many brethren have we broken our hearts to them with encouragement, with the perfume, brethren, of God's love to help them? Or maybe our neighbors, or maybe somebody else. This is our mission, brethren. We have no time for politics or anything like that. How much perfume have you or I poured on our brethren? Visiting, encouraging, phoning, sending a card, literally helping, serving them. Little things, brethren, and how much they mean. How many of the old timers, or how many of the brethren that have passed on, we have so many good remembrances of them. They have poured on our heads so much perfume. So let us do that, brethren. Mammon gives us some present advantages in life, but it does not give eternal life. No. Remember the man who wanted to build granaries, and he says, I'll put so much in there that I'll just have enough. I won't have to work and live. Well, what did the Lord say? Well, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So the lesson, brethren, is we do what we can with what we have. We sacrifice the mammon of this present evil world to make spiritual friends, that they may gain eternal life. We need money for a car. We need money for gas. We need money for plane fares. It costs money. And some said, well, money is the root of all evil. Maybe the love of money is the root of all evil, but money itself is not the root of all evil. We should use our money, our time and talent, not in the world, but rather in the Lord, in the service of the Lord. And as the Lord tells us, we cannot serve two masters. We should be willing to become of no reputation in the world, but rather seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, Matthew 6:33. And we're going to give some examples a little further on. Spiritual Israelites are thus to prove to the Lord to be spent in a service to such it will mean a revival of spiritual health, energy, vigor, and in his service. And to such brethren, it'll mean looking unto Jesus. Their eyes will see him more clearly and see also the heavenly crown in reservation for them, those who have been inspired by the hope of the high calling. As stewards, he permits us to use some of our consecrated time and means for our own sustenance and the sustenance of our families with moderation. We have to use common sense, as the saying goes. Indeed, he leaves matters entirely in our own hands, saying to us, so to speak, you have consecrated your all to me, now I have returned it unto you and for you to use in my name, and to the forwarding of my will in the earth, as you shall understand my will from my word. And that is why we have all these studies and conventions and our personal studies at home. Go, occupy, and use. You remember the parable of the vineyard, the laborers, some wanted to go in? And the Lord says, go and serve the Lord. I will inspect your work later and will judge of your love and your devotion by the carefulness with which you shall seek to use your hours, your moments, your dollars, your dimes. if you have love much, if you have much love and devotion to me, it will manifest itself. Or if you have a little, this will also be manifested. And we can tell, brethren, how if somebody is really zealous serving the Lord. You can tell that. By their fruits you shall know them. You can tell. But what do we do? Those that maybe are not that zealous, do we discourage them? No, we help them along. Maybe they don't know. We help them, brethren. Encourage them. Only those who love me supremely and who rejoice to follow my word and example shall be joint heirship in my kingdom. Joint heirs in my kingdom. For only they will have the reverential and benevolent and spiritual dispositions of heart essential to the great work of the kingdom, which will be instituted as soon as a little elect flock has been glorified. And I often think of it, brethren, how many people have we blessed? If our work is going to be blessing, how many have we blessed? Or is it all for ourselves? An important question to all of us. So we have to learn that, brethren. A steward, therefore, is not a person of a mere harmless character, or one who is contented to carefully fold away in a napkin the talents entrusted to his care, but rather make a diligent and business-like appropriation of his one or many talents in the master's service, and so on. And the company, the last place of employment that I had with the shoe manufacturing firm, they hired management consultants to improve their operation in order to get a better return on their investment. And this is only natural that the company doesn't go bankrupt. We manufactured 4,000 pairs of shoes a day with 350 employees, and I was one of them selected to becoming an efficiency expert. They took us out on the street and they said, just have a look how people walk around. Some walk around. Some are. So we can relate this, brethren, to our zeal in the Lord's service. We had to set up best work method for each operation, whether it was the cutting of the leather or the lacing of the shoes. We had to stand by a machine operator all day long. We had to rate him, whether he was doing this or whether he was doing this. And the standard was that the Army standard is 4 miles an hour. And the Army, they have to go. They have to move. So this is what the Lord wants from us. We are the soldiers for the Lord. Lord's soldiers. He wants us to march. Marching us to war, as the song tells us. We have to be fair, because this, what we did, we evaluated the job and we gave them so much for that job, it had to be fair. And being in the truth, brethren, I had to be fair. And not only that I had to be fair, but they stipulated, the management consultants, that be fair, because the union would come along and they would check you out. If a job took 4 minutes and it requires 5 minutes, well then, we had trouble. So, if the standard was set, let's say a standard of an operation was set at 10 minutes, and if you did it in 6 minutes, you gained 4 minutes. You were rewarded because you moved quickly. And you can do things slowly, and you can do the same things quickly. There's ways of doing it. Have you ever tried that out in your home? There's things that you can do fast. Clean up the house, wash the dishes. How much would you require for washing dishes? Well, I would set the standard at 8 minutes. Wow, 8 minutes for washing dishes. Well, maybe there's a way of doing it. So we see, brethren, the reason I'm bringing this up is we can waste a lot of consecrated time. And a lot of time we hear brethren say, I didn't have any time. Well, maybe we didn't make time. We didn't really control ourselves. So what we have to do, brethren, and applying this to Christians, if someone was to rate our efficiency in the Lord's vineyard, as outlined in Matthew chapter 20, I'm sure that they would help us to find ways and methods by which we would be more efficient laborers. Well, we'll just ask some questions. Do I attend Bible meetings regularly? I don't want any... You can answer that for yourself, brethren. But these are some good questions that you can think about. Do I attend conventions? Am I always on time? Very important. The Lord is always on time. The sun always rises and shines and sets at the same time. Very important, brethren, to come late to a meeting. It's very embarrassing. Let us strive. How much time do I devote daily to reading the Bible? The volumes, the reprints. Are we going at army regulations, 4 miles an hour? Is consecration to do God's will my chief goal in life? Now, maybe being a Christian is a little embarrassing, brethren, but, you know, we don't care what the world thinks about us. It's what the Lord looks at and the blessings that we get from serving Him. You will receive a blessing. Doesn't matter how much you serve Him, brethren. It's a great blessing to serve the Lord because He's with us. He's helping us. It's like a father helping his mother helping their son and daughter. They want them to get ahead. Our Lord wants us to get ahead. Does the knowledge of God's plan encourage me to serve God, our Lord, the truth, my brethren, my family, that much more? Knowledge of God's great love that all the families of the earth shall be blessed. How do we treat our neighbors? Do we help them? Do we encourage them, brethren? These are some questions. Do we make a daily priority list of things to be done as an aid to become a better steward? Very good thing to do. I was taught that by a manager who came from England. He has on his desk a sheet of paper. I've got to go to the office. I've got to pay the telephone bill. I've got to go to the convention. I've got to go to the meeting. I've got to shine my shoes. Now he puts them in order. Very good, brethren. What plan your next day? When we had the job of the with the consultants, we had an analysis sheet for the year for the production and also the rating of all the employees. We had everything at our fingertips. We knew. Now, isn't it good to help ourselves, brethren? Have a piece of paper. Write down what you want to do, what you have to do. Maybe you may have to change around those priorities. It doesn't matter, but have them there, and you'll see your life will be more organized. Do we always complete what we start? Very good. Complete what you start. Is your house, your car, your person always clean? Well, somebody says it's a minor thing. It's not a minor thing, brethren. If the Lord came into our homes, what would you do? Well, you'd probably be pulling out the vacuum and cleaning up, and you say, look at the dust on. If the Lord should come to our house. Are your words and conduct an example to others of a good Christian steward? Do we live within a financial budget to have peace of mind? Very important, especially for the young ones. They want to have everything at once. If you can afford it, sure, by all means. But what if you can't? What did the old-timers do? They had to wait. So many problems, brethren, with financial matters. I was in personnel for 5 years, and all the problems that would come in, the people don't know how to regulate their lives. I tried to help them. Do we waste time? Have you wasted any time? What more can we do with our spare time? Read, track, visit isolated brethren, etc. Are we making progress in the school of Christ to become better informed Bible students, better stewards, to make our calling and election sure? Are we making progress? Check yourself. Nobody's going to check you, brethren, but you check yourself. If you need help, you have elders. Ask them privately. Maybe there's a special elder you'd like to talk to. Privately. Say, brother, you know, I have a problem. I'm not organized. Maybe he'll help you. I'm sure he will. Some information, brethren, you can jot this down. This is reprints 2157. 2157. 2542. 2542. 2694. 2694. 2715 to 17. 2715 to 17. And reprint 5376. 5376. Many good lessons, brethren. And the reason I'm saying this, brethren, is, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote most of his epistles in his when he was an older man, because he had the experience. And I think any of the brethren who are older in age, brethren, have had experience. These are the good brethren you go to and you ask them. They're going to help you. They're certainly going to help you. It'll help us. Brethren, we do not serve the Lord as hirelings or as man-pleasers, but with a loving interest and zeal as sons. We're not servants in that sense, but we're sons and heirs of God. At the time of reckoning, there should be as large an increase as possible in the evidence of our zeal and faithfulness of His appointed steward in respect to that which was entrusted to Him. Whether you're an elder or a deacon or whether you're a sister, and we see how much work the sisters do maybe is not recognized. Encourage your children. Encourage everyone to take part. Give them something to do. Many dear saints are quietly and lovingly doing with their might, nobly and bravely, and spreading that beauty of holiness that they are shedding around them to the honor of Him whose name they bear. They are truly lights in dark places. Let us try to be one of those. The Apostle Paul gives us a good illustration, brethren. Writing to Titus in the first chapter, 7 to 9, he states, "For a bishop or an elder, a general overseer, must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, money-grasping or gain, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, of good things, as the margin tells us. Sober." You can talk. There's some brethren you can't talk to. We should be able to be approachable, brethren. "Just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful words as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." So here the apostle outlines, brethren, some of the qualifications required as elders, as stewards of God. How careful this should make those who fill this position. And he goes on further, giving us additional rules as to how to elders are to become efficient stewards. And he goes on to say, "A bishop or an elder then must be one that ruleth his house well," practical everyday things, brethren, "having his children in subjection with all gravity or dignity, decorum or control, well behaved. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" This is an indication, brethren. I'm convinced of that. Here the apostle is giving us some sound logic how we must graduate as stewards of God. And not only does this refer to elders, but especially to elders. He addresses a bishop or an elder, but also to every steward, every brother, every sister. The Apostle Peter admonishes us with these words, "And above all, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover or hide the multitude of countless sins. Use or extend or welcome one another with hospitality, one to another without grudging, without grumbling, but rather with a glad heart, As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold or unmeasured grace of God. 1 Peter 4:8-10. We read the Lord's words in the parable of the unjust steward, found in Luke 16:1-13. The unjust steward was accused of wasting the rich man's goods. The steward said, "What shall I do?" He resolved to lighten the load of the debtors and try to get something back instead of nothing. Better to get something than nothing. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he hath done wisely. Let us use our earthly means in any way that will help us to get into the kingdom, making ourselves friends of mammon, of unrighteousness. You have to use tact, brethren. Sometime, if you owe a man a dollar, and maybe if you see he did a good job and you give him $2, he'll remember you. It's that extra dollar that, well, that man was good. Who is then the faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. We firmly believe, dear brethren, that our dear pastor was that faithful steward. And the Apostle Paul summarized his ministrations briefly in the expression, "the care of all churches," 2 Corinthians 11:28. And we have that responsibility. And I enjoy this arrangement you have here, brethren, that all the brethren come together and try to, maybe we have our differences, brethren, but we try to see eye to eye as much as possible. Next weekend, we're going to Yorkton, Saskatchewan. I think Brother Paul was there, and others have been, and we're going to have a sort of a Prince Albert will be coming from one area and Winnipeg from another. We're going to have a two-day convention, and that's nice. Care of all the churches, the most valuable indeed in this, which guides, exhorts others to standing, warns of errors, stimulates to greater zeal, as under-shepherds in the course of spiritual admonitions, striving to build a household of faith. And the question is, who shall stand? We find this in Revelation 6:17. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? Not only is there great wrath in the world, that the Lord is using his great army in the time of trouble, brethren, but there's a lot of commotion even amongst the brethren, and who shall stand? We have to be of those to help our brethren. Who shall abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears like a refiner's fire? You know, we're tried in the fire, trials, and like fuller's soap. And I worked as a fuller, not as a fuller, but in a woolen factory where they had to use soap and wash and clean, and the trials will sure clean you, or else they'll burn you up or do something. So the Lord permits his brethren. So in closing, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:13 tells us, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand." Now you notice this word, withstand, in this evil day. And he goes on, he doesn't, "and having done all, stand." He tells us twice. Here is shown our crucial position to be more than overcomers in the Lord. So, dear brethren, may the Lord bless you. May you be good stewards. May you put that into practice. Start wherever you wish, but have determination, have zeal, have order, and you'll receive a blessing. You'll have more time, and this will help you to rejoice. It'll help you to help your brethren and help you to be pleasant in the sight of the Lord. I can't get the word, but anyway, that the Lord will favor us, brethren, and he will tell us that we have been faithful until the end and will receive our reward. May the Lord add his blessing.
I'd like to thank Brother Walter for his wonderful words. We have a profession And it's a profession that we use daily, not just wait till tomorrow or next week, but grasp every moment that we have. And we thank Brother Walter for his wonderful words. May we close by singing,
Work in the strength of the Lord, and the smile of his face shall labor reward. When as kings and as priests over earth we shall be, and unto all that salvation is free.
Kind and loving Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before Thee to give Thee thanks for all the many blessings that we have received, and especially for the preparation of this convention. We thank Thee for these opportunities that we could be with our brethren and to learn at the feet of Jesus. There's so much that we have to learn, and one of these, that we may become faithful stewards, that we may know how to conduct our life and to be more efficient in serving Thee, that we do not waste.